it's always been. We rise up to the challenge, we give the game our all. With sheer determination, we go in for the ball. For the Cloud Thunders, go Cats, we break the banner down. We know they'll play with courage till the final siren sounds. And the rival team will know that they've been run down by a pack. But you're eaten by, beaten by, defeated by the Cats. In a cat attack, go Cats, a cat attack, Geelong. A cat attack, go Cats, a cat attack, Geelong. In a cat attack, go Cats, a cat attack, Geelong. A cat attack, go Cats, a cat attack, Geelong.
Rightio, Cat Attack podcast round, what is it, round nine style, Kingy, and well, it's fair to say the preparation I've done for this podcast, I have been busier than the mosquito at the nudist colony, and you can imagine how busy he is. He'd be just, be plenty of regions he'd be able to nibble at. No, actually, the preparation hasn't been enormous for the podcast, other than the Cats.
You watch the Cats. That's all the preparation.
Yeah,
you need,
I did watch the Cats. I was front and square for the late demolition of the Bulldogs. 8-1 is the research we need to be doing, and it's music to your ears. The Cats, look, after the weekend, I thought they beat the Bulldogs, but I thought the Doggies were a good chance to make a game of it, and for three quarters they did, and then Chris Scott gave the troops a bit of a rev up. Obviously, wasn't overly thrilled with the third quarter, and they put him to the sword at the end.
Well, they kicked the first goal of the last of the Dogs. I think they got it back to within 5 points with Mitch Wallace's goal. And you thought, oh, hang on, they're coming with a bit of a run here. And then the next thing you know, the Cats went whooshka with the last six goals of the game.
Yeah, and it was, you know, impressive too. I mean, it was, first half Selwood was really good, and he was really quiet in the second half. And then vice versa, Kelly was really quiet in the first half and really good in the second half. It just sort of shows you the evenness. They've got players who, someone's down, someone else can jump up, even within games, not just for the entirety of the game. So, the defence was good again. Hawkins was good again. Rowan was good. Dalhouse played his part. Fort came in and kicked three goals. I was interesting post-match comments of the coach. I think he still thinks that Radaglia is the man, because I think he said something along the lines of, someone's going to have to convince me that he's not. And I probably tend to agree with him. I think he's far more physical than Fort. Fort was okay, though, to kick three goals. He got a bit lucky. What I didn't like about, the only criticism I have of his game is he got caught behind a lot. I know it worked for him against Lockie Hunter, but three or four times he got caught behind and got the ball was run away from him. So he's got to find a way to play in front.
He's not overly mobile once the ball hits
the deck. Yeah, that's probably where Radaglia's got him covered. But you couldn't knock someone who's kicked three sausage rolls on debut. It was a good effort. Abbott, it was interesting that they got hammered in the midfield. They were playing not their second string. The Bulldogs were playing their 14th string ruckman.
Jackson Tringale.
They actually may as well have been rucking Caleb Daniel. They were delving that low into the kit bag. And Geelong got smashed out of the middle. Now, I know you can't pin that all on the ruckman, but it has to be some part of the equation. And the fact that Geelong was soundly beaten by a novice ruckman suggests that, you know, they need to have, obviously, well, it goes without saying, but Stanley back and Radaglia. I think that's the option rather than even just on the one game with Fort and Abbott.
So do they, you think Stanley's going to be right?
This week?
Yeah. And Radaglia was managed. Yeah. So and you only manage a bloke for a week.
He'd come back in. Yeah, especially with him too.
Who tells Darcy Foot, look, really impressed with what you did. Great that you kicked three goals on debut, but you're not on the plane.
Yes, Simon Lloyd.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a good confidence booster for him. He goes back with some confidence. He at least came up to the mark and performed well and then can go back with confidence to the VFL level and play some good footy. And but it was the fact that they were, even the coach alluded to it after the game, that they got mauled out of the middle. So, and finding that mix too, that the Cats' right mix around the ball at crucial times as well. I mean, you're not going to have the same four players around the ball all game. I understand that. But when games are tight and when things are on the line, you've got to have a bit of a go-to. I reckon you've got to have a go-to four, ruckman and three on ballers, particularly out of the middle. So who's that for the Cats?
Well, it's probably Kelly Dangerfield.
Is it Selwood when it's tough?
When it's tough, yes. But I still think, I reckon they've got to let Selwood settle into that wing role and just leave him there, because that's where he's going to play the rest of his career.
Okay, so I'll give you this scenario. It's scores are level 23 minutes into the last quarter
Selwood
of the grand
in the
final. No, who are the... And you have three centre bounces in a row from goals that level the scores up. Who's your three player on ballers? Stanley in the ruck, and who are the three on ball?
Dangerfield, Ablett and Kelly.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, wouldn't it? I mean, you've Mitch Duncan, I suppose. You want those? Yeah, I don't know. But you've got to. I think they need to know that they need to have that yeah. there and go to that in a game where
that's where doesn't mean as much. Because that's where Gaz will go. Oi, Charlie.
Yeah, but he did that a couple of times early on against Collingwood, and I think they end up losing the centre bounce. But their centre bounce work has been an issue for them this year. They got mauled in the ruck around the stoppages against GWS in the second half, and mauled by Hawthorn in the first half.
Yeah, and Gold Coast,
and mauled by the Bulldogs.
In Gold Coast, and only schmucks around the footy.
Did you say what?
No schmucks.
Oh, that's okay. Like you had an SH on the front there. They're not. And look,
Witzel get his hands
competitive.
On the footy.
They've been competitive, Gold Coast.
Yep.
Cats go up there thinking that they're just going to...
Oh, they're not going to roll over them.
No,
they're not going to roll over them.
A few of them are going up early, I think.
Are they?
A few of the Cats are heading up on tomorrow night.
Oh, beautiful.
So just for a little bit of... Perhaps just to...
Well, I'll have their main session tomorrow.
And then I think there's
then
a few...
Then they have the captain's run on Friday. They would have Thursday off anyway, so it makes sense for some of them to head up.
Yeah, so they're heading up to get a bit of sun on the old torso.
Oh, nothing wrong with that.
Maybe sort of... convalesce with the odd meter made or two.
I don't think that'll be happening.
Probably not. Pop your coin in.
Some of the players that have got kids are probably taking it as an opportunity just to get away for a few days.
Yeah, well, look, that's exactly right. It's pretty much warmer up there. But, yeah, you're right. It's a Gold Coast at home. They certainly haven't been easy beats this year. They were good against Port. They lost by 5 or 6 goals in the end, but they were competitive for a long period of that game. So, yeah, look, Geelong need to find their best. And traditionally, this game has been... They haven't got... The Gold Coast hasn't been great for them.
Yeah, they did a number on them last year.
The Cats?
Yeah, but it's been the Harley Bennell game.
Yeah, kicked 5, didn't he?
6, I reckon.
6, yeah, my...
I reckon that was 14.
Mind you, they did put the sword to them last year, didn't they? That was down here. But what was that margin? It was like 100.
Oh, 130 points or close to.
I don't think it'll be that.
No.
I think up there they've Stuart Jew's done a good job.
They were competitive for a half in Adelaide last week against Port. Yeah. I think they lost by 38.
So Cats bring in who are we today? They Radaglia comes in, Stanley comes in, Fort Abbott go out.
Dangerfield won't play.
Yeah, Dangerfield out, which means were they going to rest Ablett for this game, but they have to put that on hold for another week.
They send him to the Gold Coast. Maybe they send him up there and then they rest him from the Swans game. Gary, you got a fortnight to get yourself right to take on the Tigers.
Yeah, okay. And you know who's going to be right for the Sydney game?
Buddy.
No, well, yeah. Bob Buddy, yeah. and the...
Dean Menzel.
Yeah. Very good chance to make his Sydney debut this week.
He kicked 3 in the Neefel first game. How'd he go on the weekend?
No, he didn't play.
Okay.
The Neefel had a bye.
Yep.
And good mail is he's right in the mix to make his Sydney debut this weekend, Friday night, against Collingwood. And he has a real history against the Pies on a Friday night. I think he...
Well, he made his return from the knee... In 2015, on a Friday night against the Pies.
Against the Pies, yeah.
He did well in that round 23 or 4 game in 2011.
Was that on a Friday night?
That was on a Friday night.
Yeah, so the good mail is that he's right in the mix for this week, and if not this week, then certainly the week after against the Cats, against his former mob. So, that'd be good to see. Good to see Dan Menzel up and about for the Swans, particularly down here again at GMHBA.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting one will be... Have they seen enough of Lachie Fogarty?
He's only played 2 games, hasn't he?
Yeah, but he's played on unlimited game time.
Who got in the best on the weekend in the VFL?
Who was in the best? Scott Selwood.
Yeah.
Zach Smith.
Yep.
Wiley Buzzer kicked 5.
Who do they play?
Parsons. They played Collingwood.
Right.
Who have obviously a few injury issues, so they were fielding a very depleted
VFL. And they only won
VFL
by 7
side,
points, didn't they?
And they won by 7 or 8 points in the end.
What about Sam Simpson?
Would have to be close, but I don't think he was as good.
He'd
as
be
he
ahead
been.
Of Fogarty, wouldn't he?
Not.
I don't mean on talent, really, but just the fact that he's played
a few more games, but
he's been pretty good.
But as soon, I reckon they're going to pull the trigger on Fogarty sooner rather than later.
Yeah, well, I mean, who goes out? Ablett.
Well, that's where Ablett has his rest, I suspect. I would get betting, man. Fogarty plays this week in the VFL.
And then plays.
And I reckon they give Gaz a rest against
the Swans. Plays against Sydney.
Oh, look, these are all uneducated guesses I'm taking at this.
Yeah. Well, so there could be quite a few changes this week then.
potentially. Well, I suspect three.
Sam Menegola?
No, Sam Menegola needed surgery. No, Sam Menegola's after the bye.
Oh, he's okay.
Yeah. No, he's Tommy Atkins.
Oh, yeah, he's another one. Yes, I mean, you got Atkins. You can't...
But you don't want to make too many changes.
Well, if you're going to change half the team.
Yeah, but you don't want to do that.
No. Well.
No, so that's where Ablett might get his rest. That's where Ablett might get his rest this week, because Atkins is back.
Be big call. Dangerfield doesn't play. Ablett out.
Do they back? They've got enough talent to go up there and get the job done.
Yeah, well, maybe. I mean, yeah, potentially. I don't know.
Bring Stanley and Radigalia back. Bring Atkins back.
Yeah.
You lose the two.
Tell you what, the thing about it is they're all good problems to have.
Oh.
Because you're trying to fit 22 players into, you know.
Well, more than 22.
18 spots.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you've got a host of, there's five or six there at the back end that you think, well, he you know, could he get a game? Should he get a game? And if he goes in, you're not thinking, oh, my God. You're thinking, okay, well, he probably deserves a spot. Yet they can't play 25 players, obviously. So this hasn't been the case in previous years, Kingy, has it? Because
no.
We've had the revolving door of out Hall and Smith, in Murdoch, out someone else, and in Murdoch,
yeah.
Out someone else, Murdoch back in,
yeah.
Hall and Smith back out, in. Just the same Parsons in and out, you know, and when he played, was never up to it.
Murdoch's actually playing some good footy for the Saints.
Yeah, he's playing a three-year deal, yeah. Look, he's at least probably helped solidify them a little bit. His role, and it's probably smart to a degree, is to help just keep the side afloat a bit. He's not part of that, you know, that next, hopefully, what Gold Coast would be considering their next sort of surge up the ladder. I don't think he's part of that. He's just helping solidify a pretty young group now.
Yeah.
So same with Hall and Smith. I don't think they're long-term, you know, options for the Gold Coast. They're shorter-term options, but they're working out for them. So, Cats will need to find something.
Tom Stewart's mark.
Yeah, it was a good mark. It wasn't sort of pants down around your ankles.
Did I get a little bit over the top for it then?
Oh, no, I mean, it was a good mark. It was a good old-fashioned hanger, but it wasn't Alex Jezelenko. It was a bit of a stock standard sit, and it was a good grab. I'm not trying to, but I like, let's put it this way, it wasn't in the same league as Crozier's.
Yep.
Earlier in the year.
Liam Ryan's?
No, probably, I don't know. That wasn't in the same league as Crozier's either.
No.
Crozier's was a hang.
Yeah, that'll be
a genuine hang. No. We're talking Gary Moorcroft sort of hang.
Yeah, you're up that there. You're up there forever.
Yeah, Stewart's was a really good, but he just had the perfect sit. He got the nice ride.
Little
and
man.
Had he pushed off again and gone up to another level, it would have been better. But I mean, it was a good mark. It wasn't strides off nudity sort of style, was it, Leilani?
Des Broncos has joined us as he always does from over in LA on the questions from Big Footy. Gents, on Tommy Stewart, this is a question for Benny. The like that Hydro would pose. Has there ever been a succession of a number being passed on where the new wearer has lived up to the quality and expectations set by the predecessor, e.g. Boris 44, Stewart 44?
Oh, handing it down.
It's very hard to...
Yeah, Hydro's theory on Mark O'Connor. Getting 42.
Why?
Because he's twice as good as the bloke who formerly wore 21. Which is pretty good from the old Hydra. Yeah, I mean, there's got to be stories of that, hasn't there? What about, here's one I got for you. Andrew Mackey handing the 4 to Gary Ablett.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gaz has been able to just keep the 4 bubbling along pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 30s really passed down from, you know, went to Vardy and...
Yep.
30 hasn't worked. I mean, Tommy Atkins has got it now. And Tommy Atkins, Tim
House had it before Tommy Atkins.
Yeah, see, that wasn't good.
Worked out well.
That wasn't ideal. And look, Tommy Atkins is going to be a good little player, but I don't think he's going to reach the heights of the 30. I'm trying to think of some other numbers that have been passed on
that have worked out or they haven't worked out.
Who wore the 14 before Joel Selwood?
Cam Thurley didn't wear it.
Was he before Selwood though? 14.
Yep.
Cam Thurley.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Well, that sort of went to a new level, didn't it? The 14.
Did.
I'm just trying to, you know, think
a lot. I think it went David Clark to Cam Thurley.
So who wore 9 before James Kelly?
Who had nine before James Kelly? It was Shane Brewer did have it.
Ray Sterrett.
Yeah, Ray Sterrett did have it. Sorry, I'm just keeping half an eye on the last leg of the quaddy at Mowi. Yeah, and...
Something's romping away number 10.
I'm just checking to see whether I actually do have that. So I've got the quaddy at Mowi.
Oh, that's going to put the kids through school, eh, Lani? You might be able to just get the stuff. He might be going to college next week. Oh, it's paid $2.40. Just stay where you are.
I'm very happy with that. Anyway, quaddy at Mowi for Kingy. Fantastic.
There's been some numbers that have been passed on, but yeah, that's a pretty...
See, Otto passed on to Link McCarthy.
Yeah, well, Link would have been good, but he just never could stay fit. He's having a good year with Brisbane, though. Mm. Good on him. Yep. There's been a number of... The five went to Trav DeVarco, didn't it?
Trav DeVarco,
which you're never going to live up to the gazook.
Well, but it had a significant break. It was a 10-year break between the
Who
five.
Who took number one from Stephen King?
Who took one from Stephen King? Did Mitch Brown wear one?
Yeah, he did too. That went a bit pear-shaped. Yep. Yeah, we're loving the work of the 44, though. Yeah. He's been solid.
Done a very, very good job. Also from Daz Broncos, did Darcy Fort and Ryan Abbott seal Zach Smith's fate at season's end? Zach out of contract and Stanley clear number one. Sav getting regular games as a backup key position. Fort and Rabbit showing enough flashes to be solid depth in their own right. Zach surely is without a chair when the music stops.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's. I think Zach would be well aware of that too. So
he hasn't played since very early last year in the ones.
No, and if you're getting looked over for Darcy Ford has never played,
and Ryan
Abbott, who's played for about 8 minutes, you're on the skids.
Turbo Cat, as good as the win was in the end versus the Dog, our mid group at times was given a good shellacking in the centre. Yep. The Dogs mid seemed to have us covered at the times. Bont, McRae, and Smith were very impressive. I thought they scored more than a team usually does against us at KP. The drop from form of Chook, Constable, and the no-show of Atkins, did we at times start to get a sniff of the Falls Creek midfield again? Downhill skiers. Really, it was our accurate kicking as much as anything that was decisive in the win. Well, see, Constable was pretty good the week before with 27 touches. It was workmanlike, the 27. He's not going to be up every week. And do you know what? In and out. Does that mess with a player mentally?
Oh, well...
A kid, you know?
Well, I wouldn't have thought. Not as a kid. It might if you're an established player and then that suddenly became your pattern that you're thinking, well, hang on, they're not going with me. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's still a kid. He'd be well aware. He's still very much plying his trade. He's in his apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. And he's going to do that at senior level, but also potentially at VFL level. So you'd be disappointed if a bloke in his second year who's played seven senior games... Yep. He's getting disappointed because he's been dropped back to the VFL.
But it's not just that. It's the you drop, but now you're playing.
Charlie Council was sort of like, he's going to get a kick regardless of the competition. Yep. That's why I think if you drop Grian Myers back to the VFL...
He won't get a kick.
Well, you get a kick, but I don't think he'd be anywhere near as effective as he is in the AFL.
No. Because he needs the game being played at the speed it's being played at.
Yeah, because AFL level. And he has a tank to be in the right spots.
Yep.
And he gets to those spots. In the VFL, he gets to the spots and the ball dribbles along the ground to someone's shins and ricochets 40 metres to the right, and he's cooked.
Obviously, Danger's not 100% fit, so some sort of free pass is probably fair. Perhaps we got a glimpse of how influential and important Stanley is. I have to wonder that as the season goes on, if Danger is off and Joel's best is behind him, is the second level our mids group capable of stepping up? Guthrie is like a CIA agent who has spent his life in the shadows of those with real power. You have to wonder if he can go up to the next level. Waiting. There's some good analogies being drawn here.
Yeah, that's probably very true. Interestingly, Tim Kelly is Geelong's best clearance player. He had seven clearances in the second half against the Bulldogs after hardly touching the ball in the first half. And he's the one that Dangerfield, I haven't noticed him as much this year. He kicked a really nice long goal against Adelaide, I think it was out of the middle. But I haven't noticed him bursting away from stoppages as much this year. I've noticed Kelly doing it. Duncan, to a degree. I mean, he's going to have someone to feed him
the ball.
He's
having a very good image.
Yeah, he is. As long as you need someone to feed him the ball, and that's his role, and he's great at it. Maybe. Guthrie just hasn't... He sort of teases, doesn't he? You think, oh, where he plays a quarter, and you think, and then at the end of the game, you left thinking, oh.
He's still in their best 22.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got no doubt that. Gov wouldn't think he's in the best 22. For some reason, he's off.
Cam Guthrie's been off him
for a long, long time. But, look, I think he's in their best 22. But the midfield, I mentioned that earlier, that's the midfield clearances and getting that right is been an issue. And the accuracy in front of goal has been crucial in the last 2 weeks. Had they not had that accuracy, who knows? I mean, they may well have still have won, but the accuracy's been pivotal. Now, if you don't have that accuracy and then you're also getting smashed around the footy, you've got more problems than...
Lindsay Lohan.
Than Bill Cosby.
Is there quite a group of supporters in the league? This is from Pumpernickel. Considering 31,000 were in the house, Geelong home games, especially in the second and third quarter, seem more interested in just watching without really giving a whimper. Obviously, the noise comes from a goal, nice play, bad umpiring, or an opposition player angst. But generally, I would guess we have the quietest supporters in the league. Couldn't believe the amount of Geelong supporters leaving before the final bell lit against the Dogs. It was like we were down by 10 goals.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Is that must have been happening out in the...
Geelong isn't a loud crowd.
No, they're not.
It's an older conservative crowd. Remember when we used to call from the old Brownlow stand and they used to sit in front of us? We didn't get a lot out of them.
No.
They were quiet. And they are the same people who are sitting in the Brownlow stand now because they just transferred their seats. And they are your, you know, blue rinse set occasionally. They're your very conservative, still voting for Menzies type.
Yep.
But polite clap, bit of private school.
Foster's light.
Yeah, very much so.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, wouldn't everybody have those supporters, though?
Geelong's
supporters won't travel, I know that.
I'm glad that Geelong only have one.
Have they been spoiled?
A little bit.
Do they think they pick and choose when they go? If it's a crap opponent, they won't go.
31,000 is not a bad crowd.
That was
crowd.
A good crowd.
For a set,
they... I thought the crowd was... They got involved when Stuart took that mark.
Oh, yeah.
They were aroused. They're off their plastic.
That's in front of the social club. Where they tip back pods like it's going out of fashion.
I thought they got up and about, the old crowd, but maybe they didn't. Who was suggesting that they were leaving?
Pumpernickel.
I didn't see anybody leave, but that'd be a bit disturbing.
We were a little bit high up. Remember we used to see them, remember in 2015 when they lost all those games early in the year at home, I think Freo and North and that got them, and we hadn't seen people leaving in front of us for years.
True.
People are standing up in front of us and we can't see because they're into the
they're
edges.
Off. They're taking their bat and ball.
We haven't seen this in a decade.
Yeah, well, I just reckon that the Cats fans have been a bit spoiled.
Mm.
And there's an expectation that, Geelong shouldn't lose and they can't lose. Well, I don't think that's right. I think anyway, fair weather supporters, that's what we're saying, aren't we?
Foxdog 50, hey guys, playing Clark on the wing, is this more on for developing his game as a player or is it they don't have a position in defence for him as the players like Tui have come back into the side? I have to say he looks far more at home playing in defence than he does on the wing. He can kick a goal.
Who?
Clark.
Clark?
Yeah, he kicked a couple of nice ones against the Kangaroos.
He might need a spell. His last 2 weeks have been...
Kicked two goals against the Roos.
Yeah, but he didn't get much. He did kick two goals.
But if they're going to make the changes, they're going to make. Are they going to make it?
Well, that's the right. They've got to make 1,000 other changes.
I'll
make this. I think Clark's going to be a really good player.
Yep.
He's a first year player. He won't be playing with the whips are cracking.
Don't think.
No.
Okay.
Through no fault of his own. He's just it's very difficult to come in and play your first year. I don't think he'll be part of the mix. Come the pointy end of the season.
Cat to the future. Has our defensive structure been worked out? Dog short entries seem to be finding targets a little easy in the last 2 weeks. We've conceded an average of 84.5 against sides we wouldn't expect to be playing in September.
I think we read too much into this. Do you think Collingwood fans are saying the same thing? I mean, they were led by St Kilda late in that game. Oh, not late. It was probably third quarter. And they ended up winning quite convincingly. But
Carlton the week before, they struggled with.
They were behind midway through the last quarter.
Oh, in time on in the last.
Yeah. So, do you think they'd be saying the same thing? I think the good sides find a way to win, and you can't read too much into one game because the opposition's kicked 80 or 90 points.
Especially in May, June and July. You've just got to find a way to win.
Yeah, and whether that's 100 to 80, you can't be at the top of your game every week.
Can't win 150 to 60.
But Collingwood and Geelong have been able to win when they're not at their best.
Yep.
The other sides can't.
No.
So that's the difference. But to read something into, if it happened over a sustained 6-week block,
Yep.
And within that, you had a couple of big games and a couple of good sides got hold of you. Yeah, of course you've got an issue. But I think when you... Geelong defensively were really good against the good sides. Now, it's opened up potentially against, you know, North and the Bulldogs who are... I mean, do we think... Well, North certainly aren't. The Bulldogs aren't going to play finals, are they?
Probably not. If they do, they sneak into 7th or 8th.
So suddenly the couple of sides down the bottom have not got hold of Geelong, but, you know, been able to score some goals. You're not going to win the same way every week. And what I like about Geelong is that this year, even in the short sample we've got, is they've been able to win tight games when it's been like round one, 72-65, I think it was.
Yep.
They were able to, even though they were beaten, it was 75-79 against GWS. So a low scoring game, they were right in it. I'm trying to think West Coast, they just completely strangled West Coast, they couldn't score. Yet they've also been able to score where they've needed to.
Yep.
So they're not winning. I mean, you think back to Fremantle under Ross Lyon, even St Kilda to a degree under Ross Lyon, they used to win one way and one way only.
Mm.
They'd keep the opposition to nothing and they'd score about 60 points.
Yep.
So as soon as, if anything went pear-shaped, and they were so good at it that most weeks they were able to play the game on those terms.
Yep.
But when it wasn't going on their terms...
They were... cooked.
It caused an issue. Whereas Geelong seemed to have an ability to be so strong defensively. If they go with a defensive mindset, if they want to have a scoring mindset, they seem to be able to score as well. So you've got to be able to win more than one way.
Was Lachie Fogarty playing a different role this week in the VFL? 27 disposals on 12 clearances on apparently limited minutes against North Melbourne. This week, 15 tackles, 13 possessions, says something has changed. Is he looking like he wants C. Guthrie spot or Tom Atkins? I didn't see the VFL, so I'm not sure.
It's good numbers, though.
Yeah.
How did Jed Buse go?
No, not sure.
He played limited minutes. I know he had a... I think he had a 10K. As soon as he hit 10K...
10K cap.
Yeah, like a showcase came down, New Prices Right style, and said, get off. yeah, but I don't know how he went.
No. Whose role in the senior side is Sam Simpson gunning for? Probably Jordan Clark's.
Well, Jordan Clark is going to play... defence or wing.
But is he going to play defensively in this?
Well, he's not
going
to play anywhere else because he really struggles up the ground at the moment. He's so got to be playing behind
the
ball.
Is there a spot on the wing for Sam Simpson?
No, I wouldn't have thought.
So he's got to play half forward.
Well, he might come in for Ablett, play Ablett's role. I mean, he's not going to do it as well as Ablett, but
no.
he's gunning for a half forward spot. So Tommy Atkins would be one he'd be gunning for.
Mm.
Grian Myers would be another one he'd be gunning for. Those two blokes... aren't, right as we speak right now, they aren't walk-up starts in the best 22.
Mm.
Right now, you would say probably they are, but they're not over the journey of the season. You're not going to be saying that Myers and Atkins are absolute dead certainties. Mm. Let's hope they are because that means their form's been good.
Yep.
But if they have two or three weeks where they struggle, they might look to change the mix, and Simpson would be one they might look at.
Mick Howley on Twitter at KROQ Football, as impressed with Darcy Ford's debut. My issue would be how he'd go on the bigger grounds with too many big blokes.
Yeah, he's not hugely mobile, is he?
No.
And I think, like I said before, I think he got a little bit lucky with his three goals, but mind you, he was there to take the opportunity. So what that showed is Geelong need Ray Stanley. I can't believe we're saying we need Ray Stanley back. And Ford, it was a great experience.
This
for
time
him,
12 months ago, Reece Stanley was...
So
he was battling away in the twos. He would play, I reckon it was this weekend 12 months ago, he played against Essendon at Windy Hill. And he might have kicked a handful of goals, four or five. He was out of contract. And I reckon we're all thinking, oh, well, Reece Stanley's probably going to play out his time at Geelong at VFL level.
Well, halfway this year, I went down to the Geelong West post office and there was a queue from the post office, right back to the Telegraph Hotel of people.
Down Packingham Street.
Yeah, people wanting to lick the stamp because they had him sent. He was gone. Yeah. Lick the envelope, I should say.
Lick the stamp.
And the envelope to get rid of him, to post him off to somewhere else. And then suddenly he gets a two-year deal and we can't live without him.
Yeah.
Return to sender on it, had on the back of it.
Ian Bennett, Wildcat 2007. Charlie Constable didn't have his best game. I'd keep him though.
Yeah,
he's going to the Gold Coast.
Oh, I hope so. I mean, one game, he didn't have his best game, but you could, even the Stars don't have great games.
Nick Cahill, has Tom Stewart landed yet? Hang on. And now, apparently, Tom Stewart got a phone call from the control tower at Avalon.
No, he didn't.
He did.
Apparently.
He got a phone call saying, unrestricted airspace. Yeah. Get out. Restricted airspace.
Was
get
it
out.
That, wasn't that high, was it?
Oh, it was high enough.
It was high, but it wasn't Joe Cocker high.
No. Well, I reckon you said during the call it was.
No, he went. It was exciting, but I don't know. It was a great mark, but it wasn't Peter Bisasto.
Max Blake, 31. Will Jake Colajasny be the next Danny Dickfoss and not ever score a goal in his whole
career?
Well,
let's hope not, because I want to see the goal. I want to be there when he kicks.
It's going to go nuts.
Well, apparently what they're trying to get going, the Cats, I don't know whether this is allowed to happen. The AFL obviously have to veto it, but when he does kick his first goal, every Geelong fan's allowed to run on.
Not veto it. Vetoing it means they won't allow it. You just want them to
allow it. No, they give it the all clear.
Yeah, but you said veto. When you veto something...
You reject
when you veto something.
Well, we're not vetoing it. Then we want to get it... We're up and about. But apparently the Cats have asked the AFL for that to happen so that we can leave the commentary position and stream onto the arena with the headphones and with pothole and close attendance.
I did watch a couple of weeks ago the... when Abbott kicked the 100 in 95, when the crowd went on before thinking he was going to kick his 100th, he missed, and they were all on the ground. But one of the people on the ground was Alistair Clarkson. He'd taken a young disabled fella to the footy, and he was a Geelong fan, and he said, "I'll take you onto the ground when Abbott kicks his 100th. So he's taken him out, and Bluey McGrath on this AFL feature tells a story about, "Get off the ground, Clarkson. Your mob's not good enough to have a 100 goal kicker in their side," or something like that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Didn't know that. But anyway, that's what's happening. So look out for that. So be ready, Jake Colajasny kicks his 100th. Yep. Everybody, all Cat fans are allowed to stream onto the arena.
Oh, did the bloke who held down the fort, thank you, epiphany of a Cats fan, do enough to hold down number two tall forward spot? Will Asava have to fight his way back in? No. Asava is playing AFL footy when he's ready to play AFL footy.
I think they like his aggression and his agility and his capacity to be something a little bit more than just a marking forward.
Was this weekend last year he got hurt?
Yeah, well, that's probably why they hopefully don't. The same doesn't happen because he's been I don't know. There's no patience. Just have some patience with the biggest Sava.
Yep. Should a Sava really come straight back in? Absolutely. That's from Lord Ted Edmund at 59. Benny, that's us.
That's a wrap.
Guess what?
What?
We're going to the Gold Coast.
Yeah, we are. We've got to be up early. So, and Leilani, you need to get home and get to bed and don't pass any fluffy off the chains like was done before in this studio, because that was an absolute disaster. Your dad's a disaster. Everyone's a disaster. Are you going to run onto the ground when Jake Colajasny kicks his 100th goal? Yep, I think she's just nodding. So we're all on board for this. Let's start the petition to explode onto the arena.
Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to the Cat Attack podcast on iTunes.